Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
Oh goodness. Is it that time already?
It is. It's just a podcast, the podcast where we recommend you things to watch, read, and listen to.
That's right.
My name is Claire. James is here also. We are married.
I don't like how this is the start of the start.
What?
Did you change the microphone? You took the other microphone away. This one is slightly different. Like, do not like it.
Oh, I was just using it for my other job where I interview people.
Oh, very good. I bet you've got some new season. Yeah, you've got some exciting interviews lined up, it seems.
I know. One of which I'm going to talk a little bit about today.
You've got the book.
And it's really exciting. And I'm so nervous about it. I'm like nervous now. I've got adrenaline like racing through. I'm all shaky. Does that ever happen to you? You get like super nervous?
No, I've never been nervous about anything.
Oh, yeah.
This cord is too short. Just an unearned confidence in everything that
Correct.
I do. Right,
exactly. Now, Jay.
This is so annoying. Sorry, I keep adjusting the microphone because the cord's so short.
Oh, okay. Are you okay?
Better. Now it's better.
It's fine. Nothing but professionalism here. So, James.
Yeah.
Did you know that this week is the beginning of December, which introduces the most wonderful time of the year?
You've written out a song lyrics? What is this?
Yeah, so this is an ambush.
Are you really going to sing a song?
No, I'm going to make you do it.
I'm absolutely not doing this.
Yeah, it's cold outside. It's really fun. We're going to load it up. We're going to get everyone in the mood. Everyone needs a bit of a buck up. This is the PC version by John Legend, by the way.
The PC version. It's gone mad.
I've started highlighting it, your lyrics in yellow, and then I stopped. But you get the idea. It's just the bit in the brackets. This is for you.
This is an awful thing to do to another person.
Yeah, I know. I love it. All right, let's get started.
My confidence is
shaken. You have to listen. You have to put your headphones on.
Why?
So that you can hear the backing track.
You sure I can't put earplugs in?
The listeners will want it.
I don't actually know if I can hear this.
Let me see. Let me play it and see if you can hear it. Can you hear it?
I cannot hear it.
You're lying.
I can't hear it. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you should be able to hear it. It's the same as when we listen to people's voice memos.
Try it now. No, I can't hear it.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. What are you listening to?
Well, you have to be able to. Okay, what?
Hang on. Let me try this.
What? I set it all up.
There we go. Try it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Ha ha. Excellent. Are we ready? Bring some Christmas joy, James.
Absolutely will not.
Let's do it. Oh, my God, I love this so much. I'm going to stuff up the start. I don't even know when to come in. But that's all right. Yeah, big bad feels of Christmas time. I really can't stay. You've got to do your line.
Baby.
I've got to go away.
I'm going to get a gun.
This evening has been.
I wish somebody threw me down a well.
So very nice. Time spent with you is paradise. My mother will start to worry. I'll call the car and tell him to hurry. My daddy will be facing the floor.
Where's the other way?
So really, I'd better scurry.
Your driver, his name is Mark.
But maybe just to have a drink for. Oh, we're both adults, so he's keeping score.
I think they should rejoice.
If I have one more drink.
It's your body and your choice.
Oh, you really know how. Cast a spell. One look at you, and then I fell. That's your line. I ought to say no, sir.
I don't know where
I'm at. At least I'm going to say that I tried. You're going to talk about Murray again.
Murray.
I really can't stay.
I've lost where I'm up to.
Baby, it's cold outside. Okay, ready?
I'm not.
I'm
not ready for this. This is like when you haven't studied for a test in a dream. And then you wake, and then you're in a class and you're naked.
Simply should go.
And they're like, it's
text
algebra.
Text me when you get home.
Text me when.
I'm supposed to say no.
There's a line here that
That's
says, gosh, your lips look
this
delicious.
This welcome has been so best and warm. You're really screwing this up.
How am I?
My sister will be suspicious.
What?
My brother will be there at the door.
Why? What is this about?
My gossipy neighbor's vicious. But maybe just a cigarette more. You know, I've got to get home.
I need to find a cigarette and put it out of my eye.
Say overcooked. Come on.
I'm not doing this.
You've really been grand. Oh, don't you see?
How long is this song?
It's almost done.
Is it?
Ready?
Because it feels like it's been going my whole life.
Talk tomorrow. At least there will be plenty of flies. Ma'am, I really can't stay. Thoroughly stuff that up, and nobody's in the Christmas mood now.
Well, I hope so. That was.
Should I have done the regular version? Would that have helped?
Oh, you know what you could have done?
Yes.
You could have thrown me down a well, like I suggested. That was awful. I hated that
well,
so much.
Well, it was
much.
So awful because you didn't say anything.
I can't. Well,
you
look,
just kept, like, panicking.
Do you think by me attempting to sing this, that would have made it better for me?
Yes.
It absolutely
the listeners,
would not
it would
have
been a Christmas gift, a Christmas miracle.
You know how
miracle.
You hate Halloween and yes. watching spooky. This is my version of that.
I know, but I thought you would get into
nobody
the spirit.
Nobody listening to this, except for people, I guess, who are similar to you, would enjoy being handed. And it's like lyrics to a song they don't like or know and then being expected to sing it on the top of the top, especially because when they cannot sing and do not want to
well,
sing.
Well, actually, somebody in the Great Mates group said that you had a beautiful singing voice.
Disagree. This is like they used to do this thing at like the primary schools. They always think teachers want to get involved in things.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, look, it's on stage. Bring the teacher on. And I remember once they were like, we're doing I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of, it was a song or something. They're like, come on, you got to come up. I'm like, yep. And I literally just walked out the door and I stood outside for 20 minutes.
I thought you might even at least come up with some like witty things to say in between.
Between what? Between lyrics like, I ought to say no, 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 sir.
And then you say you really ought to go, go, go because you're being PC, mate.
My
None
sister...
of this like usual one where it's like, come in, it's nice and warm, have another drink, all the things.
My sister will be suspicious. My
yeah.
brother will be there at the door. Whose siblings are like, I'm watching who you're dating. Get fucked. It's none of your business.
Well, anyway.
This is a weird song.
I was really hoping that you would say your line, my sister will be suspicious, and then you will say, well, gosh, your lips look delicious.
I did say that during. I was like, what a weird lyric.
Oh, well, maybe it doesn't work at Collings. You can take it out. And
no,
I could just
Collings.
Keep it for posterity. Anyway, I hope that puts everyone in the Christmassy mood.
So listen, if everybody's around, that you know, you want to put on some Christmas cheer at your family or work holiday party, Christmas, just throw yeah. this on. Just put this on and people will be like, what is this?
What, the our version with you just like groaning through most of it and panicking.
I hated that.
Oh my God, I love that so much. All right, listeners, I hope you know that I did that mainly just for me.
Oh, really? No, they don't know that at all. Oh, man, that is
all right.
An absolute
Let's
nightmare
get on
scenario.
With this actual show that we're doing.
That is the worst thing that's
Are you
ever
okay?
happened to me. I'm not okay.
Oh, no.
What are we talking
I'm
about?
So sorry.
What are we talking about this week? Just say funny
this
things.
This is the second show in a row where I...
Oh, no. I think when you try not to laugh, you got to just laugh.
That was all the things that you hate.
That's
like
everything
all the
that
things.
I hate.
Oh my God,
I don't know how you managed to do
all
that.
All right, come on, get on with it. Stop dilly-dallying. Baby, it's cold. It's actually really hot outside.
I saw the movie Encanto at a preview screening with our son. It's a Disney animated movie. Not Pixar, just Disney. Directed by Byron Howard and Jared Bush. It was helped also developed a little bit in story by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who does the music.
Ooh, I see.
So it's about the Madrigals and their extraordinary family who live in the hidden mountains of Colombia in a charmed place called Encanto. So basically, the grandma, she was running from, there was something happened in a village, so she escaped. But when she escaped, like the magic presented itself and a magic house sprouted up and the house protects the family, right?
Uh-huh.
And everybody in the family who gets born into it on their 8th or 10th birthday, I don't know, there's a little ceremony where they go through a magic door in the house which is made just for them and then they get a gift. But the lead person in this, Mirabelle, she doesn't have a gift. So she's the only one in the house who doesn't have like an ability. Some can talk to animals. Some can predict the future. Some can control plants and shit, whatever, you know, stuff like that. She doesn't have any of that. Anyway, the magic is dying and she has to kind of figure it out. I think of the, like, the music's quite good, like, because Lin-Manuel Miranda, obviously, he did Hamilton, but this year he also did Vivo, Tick, Tick, Boom, which he directed, which just came out on Netflix, which is the story of Rent, the guy who made, it's got Andrew Garfield, which is apparently incredible. He did the music of Moana. I don't think it's as good as, right, Raya the Last Dragon, which came out this year. I think it's interesting and it's, like, fun and our son, like, really enjoyed it, but I think it's kind of... It's good, but it's not, like, great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, it's got some, like, really colourful characters and it's got a great voice cast. And I think it also captures, like the feeling of, like, community and, like, and a home and all those kinds of things really well and, like, a family dynamic. But I don't know. It was just not quite, like you know, like, I really like for example, Raya and the Last Dragon, I really liked at the start of the year.
I love that.
Yeah.
The art style is amazing.
But
I too.
Do think that this is kind of more up your alley because you like music. And Raya doesn't have any songs. It's not a musical. Like this.
No, I mean the score, the soundtrack is beautiful, it doesn't have.
I think you'd love this though. I think you'd really enjoy it.
It's got all the elements of things that I love.
That's right.
I was so jealous when you guys got to go. And then our son was so sweet and he was like, I thought that you could go too, Mummy, but then you can't because it's early screening. So you won't be able to see it. And he's like, I thought you'd see it on Disney Plus, but no, you can't. I was like, oh, mate.
Sounds like he's just ribbing you, mate.
He's
just
a
bloody
little.
Ribbing you.
Nah, he's a good one.
So, yeah, I think all in all, pretty good, to be honest. Like,
best movie ever?
Yeah, no, definitely. But I just like the other animated movies I've seen this year, including like Mitchells versus the Machines, which I really love, which again, though, that's like right up my alley.
Yeah, see, I hated it. I didn't really enjoy that. Exactly. I felt it was too manic for me and too digitally, and I just didn't enjoy it as much. So, yeah, I feel like this is – I love a magic.
I think you
and
were.
I'm prime Christmas magic time at
and
the
it's,
moment.
It's interesting because it's all set, like, within this house and community. Like, it doesn't go, like, Frozen where you go out into the world and explore. It's all, like,
in the
internal,
house.
Which I think is a really interesting concept. But also maybe makes it feel a little kind of
claustrophobic.
Smaller scaled. And, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But it's – as I said, it is really good. And, like, if you've got young kids, they'll probably enjoy it. Yeah. It's not too scary or anything. It's pretty funny in moments.
Gosh, you know what I'm really interested in? Mm. I just love looking at how they come up with these concepts and then the sheer amount of hours that go into creating an animation like this and just the feet of it, you know, like the, you know, the legs and feet, but like the, you know, the amazing artwork and that it is, and then the skill level that they've got to with Disney. It's just spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think also it's good that other studios can match now Disney. Like Vivo's not Disney. Like the amazing that Spider-Verse movie's not Disney. Mitchells vs. the Machine isn't Disney. I like that other companies
are matching
are also
them.
Doing it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, that Frozen documentary I talked about ages ago on Disney Plus, I think does a really great job of bringing to life the journey of something like this and how it comes to fruition, which I think is like super interesting.
Because that gave you a new appreciation for the movie Frozen too, didn't you? Like, did you not like – oh, mate, no, I didn't like Frozen.
No, I loved it. Remember, I loved it. I always loved it, but I loved it even more. And you're going to need those headphones, mate.
Oh, why? Have we got another song?
Yeah, no. No, we've got a listener voice memo.
Well, I feel like I might be being ambushed, so
– No, no more ambushing. I'm sorry. I feel bad now. I feel like I ambushed you and didn't rise to the challenge.
You feel like you ambushed me. Is that what you feel like?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's your all right. suggestible?
Oh, this is lovely. I talked about this with you the other day. So it's called Azoo, and it's a British drama television series from the BBC. It was first broadcast in September 2014. So it's actually old, but it's come out now in Australia on ABC iView recently. So it's six parts, written by Matt Charman, directed by Andy De Emony. And it's about a real-life guy called George Modisad who had a dream of creating a cage-free zoo with his family.
Sounds dangerous.
Right, exactly. It's set in 1930 in post-war Britain, and it's about the real-life Chester Zoo. So the Chester Zoo is one of the most beloved zoos in Britain, I would say.
Okay.
Well, as it said on Google, so I don't live in Britain, but if that's the case, there you go. And it's still alive today. That was this is set 80 years ago.
Yeah.
But the actual show is beautiful. So Lee Ingleby plays George Modishead and Liz White plays his wife.
Mm.
And then Anne Reed, who I always love, she plays his mother-in-law and Peter White plays his father-in-law.
Okay.
The premise is really that this man, George, is suffering from PTSD from the war.
Right. Yep.
And at that time, obviously, there weren't words around for anything like that.
You got shell-shocked.
Yeah, exactly. So he's had to move in with his parents-in-law because he's obviously suffering from PTSD. And he has a little daughter as well who's just played so beautifully in this. It's about the relationship with him and his wife, and he's struggling to kind of find his feet in the world and cope with all of this post-traumatic stress and the kind of visions he gets from the war.
Yeah.
So he goes down to the wharf one day because he's working for his father-in-law and sees a little monkey that's come off the docks and is about to be put down by the people who own the docks because they can't obviously keep a monkey. Chloroform.
Nice.
Really, it's intense. Anyway, and he sees this monkey and just like falls in love with this monkey and this parrot and decides to just bring them home. He's got this real
romance.
Correct. He's got this real love of animals. Mm. And I think there's a lot of sort of research into animal therapy, really, right?
Okay.
And helping people with mental health and mental disorders and things. I mean, horse therapy is a real thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
a body couch big enough for a horse. Am I right, everyone?
Anyway, it starts there and he brings this monkey and this parrot home to this tiny house, this suburban house in Britain, and there's like no room for the family in the first place, and then he's got this parrot and this monkey.
Yeah.
And then he said he's going to get rid of them, and instead he comes home with a sad camel from the circus. So he's going to sell the monkey to the circus and instead comes home with a camel, and this camel is like in his back garden.
Yeah, yeah.
And his mother-in-law is just this really stoic, sensible person, and they've been like the linchpin of their community for like 40 years. They run a local store, and she just can't believe that this has happened, and he just thinks – actually, it's not his mother-in-law. Sorry, it's his mother.
Right.
But their relationship is quite strained because his brother died in the war.
Yeah. Okay.
And you sort of get the feeling like his brother was the apple of his mother's eye.
Yeah.
And she's really disappointed in him and doesn't understand this whole PTSD thing and thinks he just needs to pull himself up by his bootstraps, that kind of vibes. Anyway, so he's got this camel. Everyone's like, what the hell are we going to do with this bloody camel? And then he finds this incredible house in a little village of Upton.
Mm.
And it's sort of this big rambling mansion that's up for sale. And he kind of gets inspired to dream to purchase it and goes to the bank for a loan and somehow manages to pull it off. And so the whole family and his father kind of sees something in this dream of his and decides to sell the family store and the family house and help him buy this mansion, much to his mother's chagrin. So
chagrin.
So that's kind of the tension in the story initially, is that his mother's so angry about this decision. His wife is kind of bamboozled but also really wants to support him, and the family suddenly get kind of excited about this. He also has a 16-year-old daughter who is sort of boy mad in a way and really wanting to get out of suburban
life.
Probably
on a bloody phone too much, am I right, everyone?
In 1930, possibly. Anyway.
Yeah. Rotary phone.
But so it's kind of about the journey to creating this zoo and how it heals him and his family, but also the villagers themselves of Upton hate the idea.
Yeah.
And there is there is a point where he decides to bring two Himalayan black bears in, and there's no cages or anything. He's got no actual kind of legal safety requirements or even proper understanding of animals other than his own gut feeling about things.
Mm.
And so you can see why these like sort of quiet village of Upton would be completely, in arms about the fact
still
that he's
there,
developing
though,
this zoo. Yeah. Anyway, it's a beautiful story. It's only rated PG, so it'd be a perfect thing to watch with kids as well.
It's also only 6 episodes and it didn't get renewed, but that, despite it being very well liked.
Mm, but I wonder if that's just because the story arc was finished.
Oh, did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and it kind of wraps up.
Yeah. Okay. So I wonder if that's possibly why.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's beautiful and it took me down a rabbit hole about Chester Zoo and just the gift of what animals can do for people. And I think
that idea of like a cage-free zoo is like it's So I think it's something they try to do more now as well, where they're like, they're like living environments. They're not just like, you know, in a cage.
Exactly. And back then, you think about the cages were tiny.
Yeah.
There was no, like, you know, our Melbourne Zoo now has these beautiful big enclosures that are basically forests with animals inside them, as opposed to these like tiny cages. And in 1930, his whole premise was the cruelty that that human beings enact on animals is just atrocious. And he's kind of fighting against that as well.
Absolutely.
And he wants to dream big and inspire people. And I think that's what's also kind of beautiful and what we're kind of searching for as human beings even now.
Yeah.
Connection back to the wonder of nature.
Absolutely.
Which I think is super healing, because really we're beings of nature, and that disconnection, and this sort of comes into the second thing I'll recommend, but that disconnection from nature is really a disconnection from ourselves. Mm. And as I say, sometimes what we do to ourselves, we do to the planet and we do to animals. And so there's this beautiful theme, and, you know, he was ahead of his time, I think, in a lot of ways. So, yeah, it's great.
Do we have time to do more things?
Yes, we certainly do.
Okay, let's continue on.
Okay.
When I talk about, if we're talking about nature and healing and people throughout history are absolute heroes, I've been watching Dexter New Blood, the new series starring Michael C. Hall with returning showrunner Clyde Phillips.
Right.
So even with Dexter as a TV series.
Certainly am. And there's a sexy orange where he slices it open at the start, and it's like a blood orange, and
so
it's
sexy.
Like blood. He's like he's a serial killer, right?
Yes.
But a sexy one.
He's pretty sexy. Mm. So Dexter was a series that ran from like the late 2000s to like when it ran, 2006 to 2013.
Was it back in that time where like vampires were sexy as well?
Yeah.
Is it kind of coinciding
It's an interesting concept, which I think fell apart pretty quickly, but there's some solid seasons in there and episodes. But it's basically about a guy who since he was young, had serial killer tendencies, and his father was a police officer. So basically taught him this code, which means that he only kills other serial killers or murderers or people that deserve it. So he needs to kill people, but he only targets
bad dudes,
bad people, even though he himself
is a bad guy.
And it's about him like trying to get away with it and whatever. And I think it does totally go off the rails towards the end and has a very unsatisfying conclusion. But this new series brings it back, and brings back a bunch of returning cast, mostly in like people he's imagining, because he killed a lot of the people that he knew. But so this time he's in a remote fictional town of Iron Lake, which is like this snowed in like wilderness setting, which is very different because he was in Miami. So he was a blood splatter analysis guy for the police. So because that was his area, you know, he could figure out crime scenes. But now he's like, he sells hunting rifles in this remote town under a different name because he had to flee at the end of the last season. So it's nearly 10 years on. He hasn't been serial killing. He's just been lying low. He's got a new name, as mentioned, new job. But then, like, a certain, you know, he gets in a scenario where he kills again. And I guess that one thing is very consistent with the character of Dexter Morgan. He's like, his impulses and his decision making, even though he's intelligent, like, it gets him in trouble because he's constantly like having to mop up the terrible things that he's done while people trying to find out what's happened. Also, his son, who was a child when he last saw him, turns up, and maybe he's the same as Dexter and whatever. It's only like 4 or 5 episodes in as of so far. And look, I like Dexter. As I said, it's pretty inconsistent, but it's a solid concept, and I'm enjoying this like this little revival that they're doing. It's pretty fun, and Michael C. Hall has always been excellent, like in the role.
Yeah, definitely. I watched the first season and enjoyed it, even though it's a bit slashery for me.
Yeah,
because of him.
Yeah,
he was great.
Season one is good. Season two is okay. I know season three with John Lithgow is really good as well, the Trinity Killer. So there are good episodes like sprinkled within it. It is not without its merit. Like it was again disappointing ending, but yeah, it's a nice kind of thing to have back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, to revisit.
This is fun. Yeah,
that's cool. I really like that. Like they use the cast.
Yeah,
like
some of them.
Some of them. Yeah. So it feels consistent.
Yeah,
that's cool. All right.
What
excellent.
Else you got?
Okay, so as I said before, this week I'm interviewing someone really cool who I've admired for a really long time.
Oh, Claire, come on! You already interviewed me.
Yeah, I was really scraping the bottom of the barrel
there,
mate.
Come on, mate.
No, that's all right.
Mate.
I love you. Okay, anyway, but Sarah Wilson is a climate activist, a writer, a podcaster. People might recognize her from the I Quit Sugar movement. She wrote books and things around that. So that was kind of where she leaped into fame. But she was also editor of Cosmopolitan magazine and a lot of different things. She had a huge life. Now, I'm particularly interviewing her and recommending today two books. The interview with her is not coming out for a little while. That's Tonce later for the second season.
Yep.
But in researching the interview for her, I've read two of her books. First, We Make the Beast Beautiful, which is her journey around anxiety. It's kind of reframing anxiety. So if you're someone who suffers from clinical anxiety and even someone who just has this feeling of anxiety, I think that is more prevalent now, this book is really interesting and engaging, and it's really valuable, I think, particularly not just for people with anxiety but with all kinds of different mental health issues.
Okay.
And she really encourages people to expand their thoughts around this area of neurodiversity.
Yeah.
There's lots of practical advice and practical strategies to help. She interviews experts from all over the place, from, you know, sort of spiritual gurus and meditation experts to doctors and clinicians and psychologists. Mm. And it's also her life story too.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So I guess the basic premise is her idea that anxiety is a feeling of disconnection when we're not living in alignment with the planet and with our values. And, that's quite an interesting way of reframing this idea of anxiety. And it's controversial, and I think it's really worth reading the book to kind of explore what she means by that. All right, and her other book, Wild, This One Wild and Precious Life, looks particularly at the climate emergency. And she wrote it just as the pandemic kind of hit. She finished writing it, submitted it, and then had to take it back from her publishers to add in the pandemic, really.
Right,
so
okay.
She published it last year, and it's excellent. It also comes hand in hand with the podcast called Wild, which is available on Apple Podcasts. And that's like a series of interviews where she deep dives into particular kind of thoughts, I guess, or people who have really interesting and complex ideas about the way we're living now and our culture now. So anyway, she's a really interesting person. She lives with a lot of conditions, including bipolar and an autoimmune disease as well. So yeah, really interesting and thought-provoking person. So I would highly recommend going to check her
out. How are you feeling about this interview?
Terrified. Just terrified. Anyway, it's fine. I'm just keeping on researching and hoping it'll be okay.
It will be fine. You're a great interviewer.
Thank
Are you doing
you.
It over Zoom?
Yeah.
Wow, that's even worse.
Oh, stop. I know. It actually is because there's – in some ways it's not, because at least I don't have the anxiety of going to the place and all the lead up and all the things. It's just like on the computer it goes, except the downside of the online stuff is our internet is so patchy. So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And anywho.
Can I can I recommend something if it's going poorly? So, all you need to do is hand her this sheet, these song lyrics. And then see if you can get a duet going.
All right, excellent. This sounds really good. All right, I'm so sorry about that, Jace. I feel bad. I feel like I
No, Claire, you. People are going to love it. They're either going to revel in my misery or they'll love your cheerfulness or they're going to hate it. Hopefully they're going to hate it.
I don't even remember. Did you even say anything? I feel like
I think
most
I got
of it was
first
you groaning.
Lyrics out. But like if you think I'm going to like do a singing voice on this, unironically. I only do things ironically so I can say it was a joke, it was a parody. I can't do anything earnestly.
I know.
My whole brand is cynicism, Claire.
I was hoping you'd just jump on board and put aside your usual, you know, cynicism for the Christmas joy.
Is there
joy.
Any part of you that thought that I would jump on board for that? Do you think if I did it earnestly with you, do you think you would have enjoyed it?
I thought that maybe you would at least read more of it. You just basically groaned.
I lost track of where it was at. I don't know. I was kind of I was getting lost in some of the lyrics, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, maybe I overshot the mark with I overestimated
no,
your
I think
abilities.
It was a well, that is true. It was a valiant effort to make me more miserable. Anyways, if you want to make me less miserable, you can actually review the show. Did you know people can do that?
No.
They can do
get
it
out
in
of
app.
Town
All they
here.
Need to do is open up whatever app they're in, just like AEN 2012, who says, you won't regret listening. It's been Baby Bear's Porridge, in between chill and energetic. It's between serious and fun. The couple is in between sweet and sassy. definition of pleasant.
Oh, mate, there that is go. One of the best reviews I've ever heard.
Loving that.
I love that. Sweet and sassy. That's me to a T.
Sweet and sassy.
Correct, exactly. All right, so I have a voice memo today.
Thank you so much, guys.
We've got a couple in, which is so exciting because we hadn't had many for a long time. This one is from Captain Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you, he's fantastic. You can email your voice memos or just an email if you prefer the old-fashioned word typing to suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Hells yes.
And this one, here we go. This is a voice memo.
I'm going to put my headphone in. Hang on. Let me put my headphone in.
Put your headphone in. Put it in. Put it in. Get it in there. Get it in. Yeah, this is from Captain
Fantastic.
Let's go.
Hi, James and Claire. I really am excited to be writing in to my favorite podcast, Suggestible. I do also enjoy James's other more successful podcast, but this one is my favorite. Oh. I have a suggestible for you guys, and it is Frederick Bachman, the author. He wrote A Man Called Uwe, he wrote Anxious People, he wrote Bear Town, all of which are very good books. His typical style, the reason that I like him so much, is kind of quirky, like goofy, but it'll make you laugh and then it'll make you cry in the same page. He does such a good job of mixing emotions in that way, kind of like Taika Waititi with his movies, where you'll be like chuckling about something and you'll just have a gut punch and you're like, wow, like it feels good to feel things. I love these books so much. You've got A Man Called Uwe, which is about an elderly man dealing with the loss of his wife, and it does so, you know, he's grumbling the whole way through, but it's got so much heart. And Anxious People, which is his most recent book, about a bank robbery that goes wrong, but not in the way you've expected. And then he also wrote Bear Town, which is a book kind of like what you talked about last week, about how sporting communities protect their players. And it's a very interesting read. It's a very different novel for him, but it's really important. And if you don't want to read, there is a show on, I think it's on Amazon Prime, but that's my suggestible for you guys. Thank you so much for doing what you do. And you're just light and joy in my life. And I know so many others. So just keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I was I was struggling to hear because Claire could hear it very loudly and I could hear it very softly. So I was like trying to concentrate and listen. So I wasn't interjecting much. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I know. I've been meaning to read those his books, so I'm really excited. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
For share. Not you.
Oh.
Noah. Thank you so much, Noah.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. And that's it. That's the show for this week. We've been Suggestible Podcast.
Are you going to spring anything else on me?
Yeah, let's go. Another rendition of Baby It's Cold Outside, but this time the Dean Martin version. I really can't stay.
It's cold outside.
Maybe I should have just done both lyrics. And then it would all been fine.
You can't these days. I mean, it's too bloody. All right.
Happy Christmas season.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do a Christmas episode coming up.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm getting all revved up for that. And also, I made a little Christmas gift list.
I saw that,
A few little recommendations and a funny photo of James wearing a Christmas card crown. And so if you want to find that, it's just in the link in my Instagram bio at Claire Tonti. And it's just there. You just click on it. It's also probably emailed to you if you subscribe to my newsletter, which will be coming back with a vengeance in 2022. But I did email that out. So there's just a few little gift suggestions on there. Nothing too shabby. And I hope you have a merry old time.
Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic.
Till next time.
Thanks,
bye.
Everyone. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.